Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Wednesday, September 15th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is excited that rookie camp and training camp are starting up. To keep up to date on all that Flyers news, our episodes, follow the podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Flyers. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. You can find Russ on Twitter at Sportsology. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. On today's show, we're going to talk about Chuck Fletcher's pre-camp press conference and what he had to say and the schedule moving forward. And then we're going to get into rookie camp and a little bit of training camp with Jordan Hall from NBC Sports Philly. And then we'll wrap up with Russ's prospect talk. And today we're going to focus on Emil Andre. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. Hit that subscribe button. You'll get all of the Locked On Flyers episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. So we got a little intro to rookie camp from Chuck Fletcher on Tuesday, and he kind of laid out the schedule for the upcoming week where they'll start on the ice Thursday, and we'll have games for the Flyers rookies versus the Rangers kids on Saturday and Sunday in New York and Voorhees, respectively. Those will be closed to the public. But then for Flyers training camp, which begins Wednesday, September 22nd, with on-ice starting on Thursday, fans will be allowed in for that main training camp, but masks will almost definitely be required. But stay tuned to the Flyers for more information on that. The big news to come out of that press conference was that the Flyers announced that all the Flyers players and staff and coaching group will be 100% COVID vaccinated by opening day. So that was good to hear because we haven't heard that from a ton of teams around the league.
No, that was really good to hear. And I think we will start hearing more from teams. I think the NHL did a very good job of kind of laying out what the expectations were. I think they could see in other leagues like the NFL, where it's sort of flailing a bit and not working out exactly right, that they want to get it as close to right as you can without treading on everybody's personal freedoms, but also understanding that, hey, you're a team and, you know, you could be hurting your own teammates. So I think they did a good job with that. Flyers did a great job with that. And now it's going to also help the media cover for the fans, because now either we'll be in the locker room or at least we'll be in the auditorium room, you know, the interview room with them. And that's good because you want to be able to sort of see these players and you can get a better reaction that way rather than it just being on Zoom. So I think, especially when they come straight off the ice, that's really a big deal. So this will be a big upgrade this season on how the games are and also how they're covered.
Yeah, I especially appreciate that the media will be there in person, but they will be maintaining the Zoom access as well so people can cover the team remotely. I think that was the right decision.
It is. And that's a good one because now it's like, okay, if for some reason you can't get to the game, you still can be involved. That, you know, I think before there were probably a lot of times where you never wanted to miss a game, and so you just went, and you maybe, you know, you probably should have, and you could have maybe picked up the interview like this. So I think this will help some of the media too, because it's, you know, it sometimes can become a grind.
A couple other things that Chuck Fletcher had to say on Tuesday is that he was looking forward to a competitive rookie camp, but that kids will have to show that they are significantly better than the depth signing veterans to make the team outright. But there will definitely be opportunities for them to get to play this season, given the nature of the schedule and how things generally go with injuries and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very vanilla statement to make. I think we could all have guessed that that is the way it was going to go. But I also think it's kind of pulled the plug a little bit for any youngster thinking they could make the team out of camp. They all want to think they can make the team out of camp, and I kind of think Chuck pulled the plug on that a little bit. But at least he said, hey, there's a chance you could play this year, which there will be because of various reasons, you know, could still be COVID reasons, injury reasons, all those different things. So in that regard, yeah, the chance is there, but I don't think there's the same chance that there has been in other years to actually get a job at a camp. That's going to be very remote.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Is there anything else you're specifically looking for from rookie camp?
Yeah, I'd like to see it be a little more physical, not to the point where, you know, guys are slamming each other or anything, but I think they need to pick it up a bit now. I think they got more into the instructional part the first go around, which is good. That's what you want to do as well. And now I'm hoping to see more, you know, if it's not scrimmaging, more full ice sort of coverage, at least 3-on-3, something like that, where you see more drills that way, and guys are allowed to, you know, maybe make a check or two. They were doing that in development camp, but not a lot. And I hope the goaltending's better, because it was a problem, I think, for a lot of guys. There was some good goaltending. Ersan definitely stood out over Ustamenko, and maybe because he hadn't played in a while, he really didn't play much last year at all. That was a reason why, but they also had this guy that I would dub Joe goaltender, and I'm hoping Joe's not there, no offense. And then I'm hoping that there's a little bit more, just a little better goaltending play, so that really can help the competitive situation and make it hard to score for these prospects so they have a real feel for it.
Yeah, I think that having a good target to shoot at is definitely important for these rookie guys to, you know, get used to what the NHL level could be like. So with that, here is our conversation with Jordan Hall. Like I said at the top of the show, we are pleased to welcome to the podcast Jordan Hall from NBC Sports Philly. Welcome, Jordan.
Hey, Joel and Russ. Thank you so much for having me. Great to see you guys.
So exciting. The season is getting going. And since we haven't gotten your particular input on it yet on the podcast, what did you think of the Flyers' offseason moves overall?
I liked them. I think they did need a new look, a retooled look going into this season. Chuck Fletcher, I think, said it really well. You can't continue to bring back the same players year in and year out and expect different results. Last season was pretty alarming. You give up more goals than anyone else in hockey. You have the 30th ranked PK. I know it was a shortened, different year, and I've been one to defend the Flyers in that regard. It was a challenging season, and I would be careful to not overanalyze it, but I feel like the Flyers needed changes. They needed new energy, and I think they went out and got that. I mean, five of their acquisitions were alternate captains on their teams, their former teams. So you're getting a lot of leadership. Guys that are proven, guys that have kind of been there, done that. I think the Flyers needed that. So overall, I thought the Flyers had to be aggressive, and Chuck Fletcher was. Kudos to him. And now it's a matter of putting it out on the ice and seeing the results.
So Jordan, with all these acquisitions, sometimes it takes a little while for a team to gel, but the Metro is a tough division. Do you think they'll get off to a slow start? This is going to be a challenge for Alain Vigneault.
I think it will be. And as much as we want to praise the changes made, the Flyers could be going into next season with three totally new defensive pairs. And while that's a good thing in many ways, you're going to need chemistry to develop quickly because the Flyers can't afford a slow start. They don't want another slow start. They've had too many. The Alain Vigneault era, I thought, got off pretty well. They had a slow first month in October, but then they eventually started to gain steam once they, I think, got through that crazy schedule. And they didn't start too slow. I didn't think they dug themselves too much of a hole. I think that will be important again this season, but it will be very interesting to see how everything gels together, how the D pairs come together, what Carter Hart will we see in the opening month, how much of Martin Jones will we see. Those are all big questions. I think a fast start is very important because I think there's a lot of pressure right now on the Flyers in this season. The fan base is frustrated after last year. The team hasn't missed the playoffs in consecutive years since the mid-90s. So this organization is used to being in the playoffs. It's not used to missing them. And if a slow start does happen, pressure builds, and naturally athletes are affected by pressure. So a fast start can only do wonders. I think it will be very important for the Flyers.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer? They're choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry, but you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket instead. You can save tons of time and money by using rockauto.com. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, so we know we can trust them. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. You can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite shows, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
You alluded to a lot of pressure on the Flyers this season. And, you know, as somebody who spends way too much time in Flyers Twitter, as I do, I think there is a little bit of a difference between what the definition of a successful season this is from a fan perspective versus Chuck Fletcher's perspective. Where do you see those differences, and which do you think is more realistic?
That's a great question. I found that debate pretty big when the Flyers lost to the Islanders in game 7 of the second round in 2020. I feel like there were some fans that got so excited about where the team had gone that they wanted more. But, and then there were some that maybe had a little more perspective, understood where the Flyers were the previous 7 seasons, that they hadn't won a playoff series in a long time, that getting to a game 7 in the second round was something to kind of check off and say, hey, we did that. Now the next step is coming. So I think for the Flyers, it's not just about getting in the playoffs. They should be back in the playoffs. That should be goal number one, but they do need to go on a run. But I don't think it has to be Stanley Cup or bust. I think if as long as you're taking steps forward, developing a new identity, getting back in the playoffs, and at least contending for a run to the Stanley Cup, I think that's important. I don't think you need to make this massive step, but it is an important season. Do not get me wrong. Claude Drew's in the final year of his contract. So there's a bit of a crossroads moment probably coming up here for the longest tenured athlete in the city, really an icon in Flyers history. So it's a very important season, but I don't think it needs to be Stanley Cup or bust or anything like that. As long as they're taking strides to getting back to contending, I think that should be a victory in my mind.
Jordan, since you mentioned Giroux, I matched up a picture they had of Giroux skating the other day to a picture I took of him in the locker room maybe a year and a half ago. Okay. It seems like he's lost a lot of weight and he's training a lot harder, maybe because he's now into fatherhood to the point where he has a schedule again. But this is like we've never seen Claude Giroux like this trim, or at least that's the way I saw it.
No, I agree. I thought just seeing the picture of him the other day sent by Zach Hill, the Flyers senior director of communications, I thought he looked trimmed down. I actually thought he looked pretty slim too, Russ, at the start of last camp as well. Like when I saw him, just like his body, his face, everything just looked slimmer. And yeah, I have a feeling he's training incredibly hard. I think that's something that he's really built into his game. Not that he didn't train hard earlier in his career, but probably earlier in his career, he had a lot more natural ability to just take over. And now, yeah, when you get into your early 30s, close to mid-30s, you realize your body slows down a little bit and you really have to train hard. And I think some of the great athletes, and I consider Claude Drew a great athlete in this city, I think some of the great ones really become passionate about training, become passionate about winning. And I think, yeah, I think he understands the situation, that he's in the final year of his deal. He wants to win. He wants to leave a legacy. It's not like it's, you know, definitely the last year of his time in Philadelphia, but it could be. And I think he understands the situation. I think he probably trained extremely hard this offseason. And he's definitely one of the most driven athletes I think I've ever been around.
So switching gears a little bit, one of the riskier moves that Chuck Fletcher made this offseason was signing Martin Jones in the backup goalie position. Do you think he can withstand the workload that's going to be required of him, maybe 30 games with positive results?
Yeah, I think that was on the Flyers' minds when they signed Martin Jones, was they looked at his track record, and he had his first four seasons in San Jose, he made over 60 starts, won over 30 games in all of them. It's a lot of games. I looked it up since over his time in San Jose, the six seasons he was there, no goalie had played more games than Martin Jones in the NHL. So while his numbers have dipped considerably over the last two, you can even argue three seasons, I think the Flyers believe a fresh start with much better team in front of them and much fewer games could do good things for him. So that's a big question, and we're going to have to wait and see. I'm not sold on it yet, but I do think a player like Martin Jones, a guy that's pretty accomplished in his career, if you cut down his games a lot and you give him more practice time, a little less pressure, and if you give him the revamped defense the Flyers have in front of him, I think the results should come. And I really believe the Flyers are really bullish on their environment. Like, they're bringing in a lot of guys that maybe had a lot of experience beforehand, but they could be at the tail ends of their career. But they believe in their environment, with their coaching staff, with their team, these guys will get better results than maybe they did in the past few seasons. So Martin Jones is case in point there. I think they're bullish on what he can do with their coaching staff and with fewer games on his plate. But that will be one of the biggest questions, because Carter Hart's coming off a season, his first taste of adversity, really, at the NHL level. And if he deals with a little more adversity again, you're going to be relying on Martin Jones a lot. So that will be one of the biggest questions and one of the biggest storylines I'm keeping an eye on this season.
Jordan, with the report that we got the other day from the rookies, and we saw that Tanner Lyszynski's kind of close, maybe he could play some physical play in that rookie game. And Morgan Frost, for some reason, seems to be like either they want him in the top six or they don't want him at all. I'm not sure. But I do think he could play the wing. I don't know what you feel about that. And is Tanner Lyszynski like 4C or bust this year? Like, you know, otherwise he goes down to the AHL because they got Brassard. Like, unfortunately, I think they didn't leave a lot of room for guys to have a chance. And I think that's what Alain Vigneault likes, to be honest.
Yeah, I really think even the Derek Brassard signing was probably all Alain Vigneault. I think Alain Vigneault probably looked at the center depth and he wasn't thrilled with it. And maybe he did see that they were going to have to put a younger player in there. And we saw what happened last season. Younger players had a lot on their plates. They didn't deal with it particularly well. Why not have a full regular season of development for some of these prospects rather than throwing them in again? I think the Derek Brassard signing, yeah, was definitely up Alain Vigneault's alley, probably pushed for it. It's a guy that had his best years under Alain Vigneault. So with Morgan Frost, I think the Flyers are looking for him to go to Lehigh and play games, play in a big role, and then have to really force the Flyers' hand. I personally would have no problem if Morgan Frost spent almost this season, with the Phantoms. Like, I'm okay with that. He's 22.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt him.
It's not going to hurt him. If you think about it, he was in his first pro year in 2019-20. That season was brought to a halt because of COVID. Then he went to the bubble with the Flyers after that long pause. He didn't play a game in the bubble. And then he played two games last season before he got hurt. Kid has not played a lot of games at the pro level in a while. Can't hurt to get him to go to Lehigh Valley, play in a big role, get his confidence going. with Tanner Lozinski, yeah, I think it could be fourth line or bust, just because with Derek Brassard in the fold, with Nate Thompson in the fold, I just think they wanted to give themselves as many bodies and as much experience for the beginning months of this season. And if injuries happen or if kids play well, then you readjust. But I think that was the plan, and I don't hate it either. I think the Flyers had to do that. They tried to give kids a lot of opportunities last season, a different year, but it didn't go well. And this year, it's just too important of a season to try those risks again without having, you know, good security blankets.
Yeah, I think I was worried about that in terms of kids spending too much time down in Lehigh Valley. But I also think that with more of them there and playing together, like they'll push each other forward a little bit in a way that if it was just like one or two of them stuck down there with more of a standard AHL level talent, that it could be problematic. But with more of them there and learning the systems and learning how to play together, I think that will only help them in the long run.
I could not agree more. And the Phantoms, it's a big season for them as well. New staff completely, two new assistants, Ian LaPerriere taking over the reins. So I think they want to build a culture and identity down there. And you really do that with some of your top prospects, right? So, you know, having Morgan Frost, Cam York, Igor Zamola, just to name some of them, having them be there from day one and be Phantoms, I think was important for the Flyers as well. And then you let these kids force the hand. I remember Alain Vigneault, one of the first things I learned about him was he was big on, hey, we don't make decisions, the players do. And I think he does genuinely believe that. This season, maybe not as much. I don't think Derek.
Yeah, I don't think this much.
Yeah, Derek Brassard and Keith Yandle, they would have to be god-awful for them to lose their spots in the lineup to start this season. So maybe, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But players will force hands. They really will. If Morgan Frost is down there and he's lighting it up and he's making plays, when the Flyers do have a spot open, and that will happen probably with injuries and the way things go in hockey, he'll be the next man up if he forces their hands. So, but I could not agree more. I think it was important to have a good group of those top prospects in Lehigh and kind of setting the tone down there for a new look.
One thing that's nice about the fall weather kicking in is that I get to go on more hikes. And the perfect thing to bring along on those hikes is a Built Bar. They hit this spot. And if you don't know, Built Bars are a soft protein bar, but they taste just like candy bars. They have so many amazing flavors to choose from, something for everyone, no matter what your tastes are. Some of my personal favorites are their raspberry, strawberry, cherry barcia, salted caramel, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. And if you think that's a lot of flavors, yeah, it is, and I can't decide. So I order a mix box where I can get two of each flavor. But the best part is that they're healthy. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while having that delicious treat. They have 17 or 18 grams of protein and only 130 to 180 calories. The lower sugar, low carb, and great if you're on a keto diet. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, from football, baseball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers for the 2021 season. Don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So, Jordan, with all of that, do you see this rookie camp and training camp as more of a strictly talent evaluation time, or do you see them starting to work on building any potential system changes into the drills and the practice sessions and the scrimmages?
It's a great question. I think rookie camp will be a lot about, yes, building the Phantoms system and what they want to do. I believe Ian LaPerriere is set to talk on day one of the camp. So that gave me a vibe of, yeah, this is going to be about really implementing what the Phantoms want to do. But the Flyers made a lot of those development changes, developmental changes throughout the organization, because I think they're starting to really put their stamp on things. Chuck Fletcher and Alain Vigneault putting their stamp on the organizational-wide way they do things. So it's not just about the Phantoms, but it's about how they want to do things at the AHL level and the NHL level and kind of get them all synced up. So I think it will be more about the Phantoms, but it will also be about how they want to do things from an organizational standpoint, systematically, and getting these kids to play hard, play the North-South style, the possession-based attack type of way the Flyers want to play. I think that will be the overall emphasis of rookie camp and really just getting these guys and these kids' feet wet before the real competition ramps up next week for mainstream.
Keeping them healthy, too.
Yeah,
and yeah, they got to be healthy. Too.
That's so important. Yeah, you remember these guys haven't had a normal camp. They haven't been pushed like this in a little while. It's been a little while because of COVID-19. So don't want to overdo it, but you want to push them and get them ready for a long, long season.
Well, Jordan, I know I'm looking forward to these two rookie games this weekend against the Rangers kids and seeing some actual hockey again. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you out there?
Yeah, thank you so much, Rachel and Russ. I really appreciate you having me. You can find my work on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and on my Twitter account at JHallNBCS.
Once again, thanks to Jordan Hall for joining us on today's show. Wrapping up with a little prospect profile from Russ here. Today, we're going to talk about defenseman Emile Andre. Just to refresh your memory, he was drafted in the second round in 2020, number 54 overall. He has not yet received an ELC from the Flyers. And this upcoming season, he's back with HV 71. In Sweden, which got relegated to the second division league at the end of last year. Emil is 19, so he can still play in World Juniors this upcoming season. And Russ, like, where do you think he is right now as a player, and what does he need to show us in the upcoming year?
Well, I think right now as a player, he's like any other 19-year-old prospect who is playing in another league. He's playing against men, so it can be a little bit tougher than junior hockey. But like you said, it's not the SHL, so it is a level down. So now it's sort of like maybe just a notch above junior hockey. Right now, I think he's in a good spot. I don't worry about the fact that he's not in the SHL. I like the fact that he's going to still play against men. He's going to play on the power play. He's going to get a lot of playing time. We'll see his points rise. I always think that it's very hard for fans to sometimes, if you're not following these leagues, when you look up a guy and it's like, hey, he's played 40 games and he's got 5 points. Well, a lot of times that means, you know, they're not getting top power play. They're not getting this. They're not playing a lot of minutes. I think this will help. He's going to get more this year. I don't know how much more because I'm not the coach, but I'm hoping he gets a little bit more this year. And so where we're looking at his development is he's already got the speed and he's terrific going up the ice. Like, he's got pro style speed. He's got great dekes. He's really good with the puck and he's smart with the puck. So he could bring it up the ice if you want him to in 5-on-5 play. And he's tremendous on the power play. He's a great passer and he's got a really hair trigger on his shot. And so those kinds of things are all the kind of things you want to see. Now, other things that are in progress for him are when he's on the ice, there's a lot of shots given up. He's not really good at, like, shot suppression or anything like that. He's pretty good at puck retrieval. So his defensive game is going to have to get a little stronger. That's for sure. And that's something where he could start working on that this year. Now, yeah, he's playing on a bigger ice surface, but if he can play better defense there, it's always an easier transition defensively when you get to the smaller ice surface. So I feel like right now he'll get this season in. He gets another World Juniors under his belt. He'll probably have a much bigger role on that. If nothing else, he gets in another tournament. Anytime a player can get in two World Junior Championships, that's really good. So I think development-wise, we're looking good here. Maybe at the end of the season, we'll see him get an ELC. But with the guys over in Europe, you don't have to be in the same kind of rush as you would in the Canadian Hockey League. So you kind of play it by ear. You see how he develops. He is a little bit of a smaller guy, so he's, you know, trying to gain strength every season as we progress. But right now, I liked him pre-draft. I've liked him since they've gotten him. And the reason I brought him up is because, you know, we don't get to see a lot of him in North America. And so I do have to do a little digging to sort of keep up with the Euro prospects. So a lot of times when I'm doing this prospect segment, I'm not always going to give you the guys that we could see in camp or see in Lehigh.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how he progresses this upcoming season. It was sort of a given that he was going to spend 2 years minimum still in Sweden before even considering bringing him over. And one of my worries is his playing in the second tier league as opposed to the top tier Swedish league. Like, do you think the competition is going to be good enough for him to progress?
Yeah, it's still good enough. And there's still some top-notch talent even, you know, in that league and on his team. When you talk about second tier leagues, they're still playing with men. And so there is a big value to that and a big learning curve. And the fact that you can keep him there where he's comfortable, that's really good for his development. Like, that's the best thing you could do for a player. And because, again, when they, and I just talked about this in a recent interview, when a European player has to come to North America and settle in, it's hard.
Do you think that his role will change on the Sweden junior team versus last year?
Yeah, it should. I think he will. Now, last year, he made it, but he definitely was a bubble guy. I don't think that'll be the case this year.
Yeah.
But again, it's still up to him. You know, it's like I can tell you all the happy stuff I want, but if he doesn't come into that camp hot, it's going to be a problem. So do I believe that that's going to happen? Yeah, I do. But it does have to happen. Otherwise, he's just going to have just, you know, a secondary role again. But even so, he's still going to be one of the veterans. I can't imagine he's not going to make it. And, you know, one of the current Flyers, Linus Sandin, played with him, right? So you hope that, you know, there was some good contact there, what to look forward to. Now Sandin's over here. But he's got some good players on his team. So I think that's a big help. And I do think that the league is still set up to play against good competition.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to next year's World Juniors and him having an impact on Team Sweden. It's always a fun tournament.
One of the best.
Wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing, we've got Morgan Frost mic'd up from development camp. He's always a good personality to have around and love hearing him chirping out there on the ice.
Yeah, he probably got that from his dad. His dad, Andy, was very well known on the radio and also in arena for the Leafs. So there's a little ham there.
I'd love to see it. Thanks for listening to today's show. We'll be back again Friday. I'll be here with Sarah, and we're going to preview those rookie games versus the Rangers kids, talk about that Flyers goal song challenge, and have our gritty thing of the week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email the show at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's R-M-I-R-I-A-M.
And I'm Russ, and I'm on Twitter at Sportsology, SportsOllgy.
Thanks again for listening, and have a great day. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.